Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here on the 18th floor at 303 Wacker, our new digs. Having a great time here. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. That's coming up. And you can hear us every weekday morning from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. right here on WGN. So we're going to talk a little bit about origins of common phrases. Like, where did that, you ever think about where did that word come from? Where did that that phrase come from? And, you know, we always love to talk about language here and where phrases, you know, and words and stuff. And if you want to jump in here with a conversation, some of your favorite phrases, where they came from, 312-981-7200. Now, Dan, you said that there were some in here that you were completely surprised by, the origins.
Yeah, the first one is pretty nuts.
All right. Well, the first one is, by the same token. Everybody's heard that phrase, probably used it, by the same token. And here's the reason. Bus token? Game token? What kind of token is involved here? Token is a very old word referring to something that's a symbol or sign of something else. It could be a pat on the back as a token or sign of friendship or a marked piece of lead that could be exchanged for money. It came to mean a fact or piece of evidence that could be used as proof. By the same token, first meant basically those things you use to prove that can also be used to prove this. And the later weakened into the expression that just says these two things are somehow associated. Yeah. Where did that? That's strange.
Right. I mean, just kind of like how did it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like some of the other ones we've read, like, oh, yeah. And then it's like, all right, well, it's pretty random.
It is. Yeah, it's completely random. So that's by the same token. Okay. How about get on a soapbox? Anybody know where that comes from? Get on your soapbox. The soapbox that people mount when they get on a soapbox is actually a soapbox, or rather one of the big crates that used to hold shipments of soap in the late 1800s. Would-be motivators of crowds would use them to stand on as makeshift podiums to make proclamations, speeches, or sales pitches. The soapbox then became a metaphor for spontaneous speech making or getting on a roll about your favorite topic. That one I knew. I knew the origin of that one. I knew that that was a real thing, that people would actually stand on soapboxes in order to make proclamations. And that makes sense. You know, that's an origin story that seems to, you know, make sense. How about tomfoolery? Tomfoolery. The notion of Tom Fool goes a long way. It was the term for a foolish person as long ago as the Middle Ages, much in the way the names in the expression Tom, Dick, and Harry used to just mean some generic guys. Tom Fool was the generic fool, with the added implication that he was particularly a particularly absurd one. So the word tomfoolery suggests an incidence of foolishness that went beyond just mere foolery. Does it, Dan, you ever use the word foolery?
Can't say that without adding Tom, no.
No. It goes beyond mere foolery. That tomfoolery, I love that word. That's one of my, that's actually one of my favorite words.
That's like a Stooges word.
Yeah. You know, and it's actually, you know, like it's a word that it's a word that someone with class would describe someone acting goofy. You know what I mean? Oh, get a load of his tomfoolery.
So people who with class who listen to this show are like,
yeah,
that Nick DiGilio.
He's just full of tomfoolery.
I could see Milt doing that the first time he heard you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sure that Milt used many, many other words to describe me that go a bit beyond mere foolery. I think we need to, we need to make an effort to start using the word foolery a little more often.
It's the phrase that pays.
The phrase that pays. Mere foolery. I bet you Milt used that word on a, I bet that was part of Milt Rosenberg's, like, regular, you know,
lexicon.
Vocabulary.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Go bananas. Uh-oh. The expression go bananas is slang, and the origin is a bit harder to pin down. It became popular in the 1950s, around the same time as go ape. So there have been some association between apes, bananas, and crazy behavior. Also, banana is just a funny sounding word. In the 20s, people said banana oil to mean nonsense. Oh, I like that. That's a bunch of banana oil. That's good. I like that. So now we got to start saying foolery and banana oil on a regular basis. We got to make these very, we have to make these changes to the language. Banana oil? Why would people say banana oil? Is there oil? I mean, can you make oil out of a banana? I guess, right? Or you can't, and that's why it's nonsense.
It does come up as a definition of colorless liquid for the odor like that of banana, using in flavorings and as solvent.
Ah. All right. And it also means nonsense.
Banana oil.
I don't know why we need a pronunciation on
why,
that.
Why would they have... What? Let's hear it again.
Banana oil. Banana oil.
Okay, that's a bunch of banana oil. And going ape. Well, I mean, that makes sense. Apes go nuts, right? They run around and they climb stuff and they knock things over, right? So that makes sense.
According to this, it's possibly a variation on snake oil, a term for a quack medicine that was extended, but...
Well, snake oil, I've heard. I've never heard, but before this moment, I've never heard the term banana oil. And I've never known anyone to actually say the phrase banana oil, except for the robot woman who just said it. Yeah, why would they have a, why would you need the pronunciation of banana oil?
And it's just the two words edited together, I'm pretty sure. And it doesn't sound like she said them together, you know?
Yeah.
Banana oil.
Yeah.
Like it's banana and it's oil, and they just made
they
it.
They just kind of smashed it together.
Banana oil.
Kind of sounds like banana boil.
Banana oil.
Yo, I've gone to many of those. Those are fun. Go to a banana boil. It's fantastic. Boil some bananas. Everybody reaches in. Banana boil?
Who reaches into a boiling pot?
Banana people.
Banana oil.
People who are going ape reach into...
That's a bunch of foolery.
That is not just mere foolery. That is not mere foolery. All right, we've got many more phrases here. If you want to jump in, what are some of your phrases, your favorite phrases, and see if we can come up with that. So far we've got the weirdest one is by the same token so far. And we got get on a soapbox, tomfoolery, and go bananas. And, of course, banana oil.
Banana oil.
That's right. All right, let's take a break. Take a break. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, we'll jump into more of these phrases and where they came from, the origins of some strange phrases. And if you have some that are your favorites, 312-981-7200. Okay, news is coming up next. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 after this show, and then Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. We're talking about where certain phrases came from. What were the unusual origins of some phrases? And we've been learning about that, and we got a lot more to go. What are some of your phrases, your favorite phrases that you like to use? And maybe we can try and find... the origin of them. You can call us at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 a.m. this morning. My dad will be calling in to tell a joke, as he always does, because it's Monday, and every Monday morning my dad calls in and tells a joke to get your work week started off with a laugh. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. So there you go. All right. So far we've learned about the origin of, by the same token, get on a soapbox, tomfoolery, and go bananas, and of course, banana oil. and banana boil, as we were discussing the fantastic activity, party activity of a banana boil. All right, let's find out now where the phrase run-of-the-mill comes from. We've heard this one a million times, right? Said it. Hear it. If something is run-of-the-mill, it's average, ordinary, nothing special. But what does that have to do with milling? It's most likely originally referred to a run from a textile mill. It's the stuff that's just been manufactured before it's been decorated or embellished. There were phrases like run of the mine for chunks of coal that hadn't been sorted by size yet, or run of the kiln for bricks as they came out without being sorted for quality yet. That makes sense. So run of the mill then is just a run from the textile mill that's just plain. Average, ordinary, nothing special. Yeah. That's run of the mill foolery is what it is. How about this one? Read the riot act. I love this phrase. This is another one of those phrases that I really like. When you've been read the riot act by your boss or somebody who was mad at you. When you read someone the riot act, you are giving a stern warning. But what is it that you would have been reading? The riot act was a British law passed in 1714 to prevent riots. It went into effect only when read aloud by an official. If too many people were gathering and looking ready for trouble, an officer would let them know that if they didn't disperse, they would face punishment. So, and I would assume some of these guys would read the riot act on top of their soapbox. So, yeah. The riot act was an actual thing, though. British law from 1714 to prevent riots. All right. See, here's Kurt on WGN. Hey, Kurt.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air, Kurt. Go ahead.
Well, the phrase, mind your P's and Q's.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to the fact that it's actually an old phrase, mind your pints and quarts.
Right.
So it's like going mind your P's and Q's.
Right, that's what it is. It is pints and quarts. So your P's and Q's are pints and quarts. But was that a pub term? Dan, did that come from the world of pubs?
You would have to imagine, right?
Right, you think, right? Because if you're not minding your P's and Q's, you're going to get drunk, right? I mean, doesn't that seem like the logical?
Yeah, although I had thought it was to avoid fights, like mind your points.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about that one before. Thank you, Kurt. 312-981-7200. Here is Noel on WGN. Hi, Noel.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's up?
I'm great. Things are good. Question for you. I would like to know where the phrase "it's raining cats and dogs" comes from.
Now we've talked about this one before, Dan. What the origin is for "it's raining cats and dogs." And do we have an official?
So the unofficial one was that they used to keep cats and dogs on rooftops, you know, outside of the house. Their dog houses and cat houses would be on there. So for rain, they would slip off. The 17th century one was that drainage systems were so poor that apparently during heavy showers, animals that had been buried would sometimes come up.
Oh! Oh no! That's terrible.
I'm not sure I wanted to know that.
No, especially not at like 4 o'clock in the morning, Noelle, I don't think.
No, not on a Monday. No. Welcome to the week.
No. Well, my dad's going to tell a joke. He'll cheer everybody up a little bit later on.
There you go.
All right, Noelle, thank you.
Have a great week, everybody.
All right, buddy, take care. There you go. There's Noelle. Raining cats and dogs. I also love the conflicted stories about where break a leg comes from. Obviously, that's a theater term. Breaking a leg, when you curtsy or bow, you are breaking a leg. I think that's where it comes from. Also, there is the theory that when John Wilkes Booth jumped out of the balcony, he broke his leg. But why would that be good luck? Why would that be good luck in the theater? He killed the president and broke his leg. That's not, I mean, that's not, it's not good. My favorite, though, is this ridiculous one that I had heard where when they used to perform theater in the town square back in the old days, there would be a lot of like people who lived on the streets who were drunk or hungry, and they were dumb. They were like really dumb people, and they would be entertained by so much by these theaters, and the performances were done on these small stages, not big stages, and the people would gather around these stages and be like right on top of the performers. And the stupidest one I ever heard was that these idiots would who were, you know, drunk and dumb would be so overwhelmed and entertained by what they were watching that they would actually drool. They would drool all over the stage, and then at one point an actor fell down and broke his leg. But if you say break a leg, that means you're going to entertain these people so much that they're going to be completely hypnotized, and that'll be a good performance, and they'll drool all over the stage. That's the stupidest one I've heard. 847 area code says, when we were kids acting spoiled, wanting some toy or a food treat, my dad would say, what do you want, egg in your beer? This came from World War II, where both eggs and beer were scarce. Oh, that's interesting. 815 area code says, you may have heard that Brits have the nickname of Limeys. It's not a nickname. It's not really. It's an insult, actually. That's because the British Navy gave their sailors a daily dose of lime juice to avoid scurvy. Patrick says, what about the whole nine yards? Yeah, where does that? What, do we have an origin on that one?
That one, according to Wikipedia, is the greatest etymological mystery of all time.
What?
Like, they just cannot nail it down. And the whole nine yards, all that is known about apparently was created, or everything researched based upon New York Times language columnist William Sapphire, who wrote extensively on the question, but nobody knows where it come from or why.
So that's the one, that's the biggest mystery so far.
According to this, yes.
The whole nine yards. Patrick will never know.
The most common offered explanation is that World War II aircraft machine guns belts were 9 yards long.
You know what? I've heard that.
I have heard that as
well. Yeah, I've heard that. Okay. 773 area code, 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. That's a common phrase. That one, I think, is pretty self-explanatory, though. I think that one we can figure out. So. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll come back. I've got more origins for phrases, and if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Got to take a break here for weather and for traffic. Yeah, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on the 18th floor of 303 Wacker, our new home. And having a good time here on a Monday morning. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time for your Monday morning. And we've been talking about the origin of phrases. And if you're wondering about some of your favorite phrases, we've got some of the origins of these, including the next one is hands down. Hands down comes from horse racing, where when you're way ahead of everyone else, you can relax your grip on the reins and let your hands down. So when you win hands down, you win easily. Oh, I didn't know that. That's good. That's pretty cool. That's an interesting one. You'd think with all my vast knowledge of horse riding that I would have known that one, Dan.
We have more horse riding questions coming up for you as well.
Oh, okay. Let's go back to the phones. Here's Lulu on WGN. Hi, Lulu.
Hey. Hi. I've got a list of a lot of these. Are pretty self-explanatory, but there are a few. Like people say once in a blue moon, which is rarely happens.
Yep.
Don't cry over spilt milk, to not obsess about something in the past. Well, don't put your eggs in one basket, that kind of stuff. Don't give up your day job.
Yeah.
You know, most of those are pretty self-explanatory, but you know, you start saying things that you've heard, and then it comes out of your mouth, and you go, what did I just say?
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know what I was saying. So I just thought this was kind of interesting. So that's all.
Okay. Thanks, Lulu. Yep.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is interesting, you know, when you're talking and a phrase comes out and you finally stop and go, wait a minute, I say that all the time, but I have no idea what it means. I mean, this is a common phrase that's used, you know, in my vocabulary kind of regularly, but I don't know where it came from or why, what it actually means. Here's Kurt on WGNA. Kurt.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right.
Long time no hear. That's like going, well, you know, they're talking about the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
That comes the phrase, what a concrete mixer, or actually a truck that hauls concrete, hauls, it's 9 yards of concrete.
Oh.
So that's
where you've
heard, the whole 9 yards.
That's where you've heard that comes from.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's like I've driven concrete mixture before, so it's like going, eh.
All right. Well, there you go. Kurt's got another explanation. But this is as you said, Dan, this is the one that's the whole nine yards is the one that has the most sort of conflicting where it comes from stuff.
Right. Alfredo, he also texted in the explanation about the cement truck, but also that it refers to the yards of clothing and the sails on old sailing ships. The captain would ask for the whole nine yards when he wanted all the sails up.
Oh, wow. Lots of different definitions there. All right. How about this one? Hey, Kurt, thanks for the call, man. How about this one? Silver lining. The silver lining is the optimistic part of what might otherwise be gloomy. The expression can be traced back directly to a line from Milton about a dark cloud revealing a silver lining or halo of bright light behind the gloom. The idea became part of literature and part of the culture, giving us the proverb, every cloud has a silver lining, in the mid-1800s. And it gave us a David O. Russell movie.
It did.
A very good David O. Russell movie. Let's see. Have your work cut out. Oh, boy, you're going to have your work cut out for you. The expression, you've got your work cut out for you, comes from tailoring. To do a big sewing job, all the pieces of fabric are cut out before they get sewn together. It seems like if your work has been cut for you, it would make your job easier. But we don't use the expression that way. The image is more that your task is well-defined and ready to be tackled, but all the difficult parts are yours to get to. That big pile of cutouts isn't going to sew itself together. I didn't know that. So you got your work cut out for you. It's a big sewing job. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us with your favorite phrases. Or where they came from. Yeah. I still think the break a leg drooling thing is that, you know, who told that? Who told me that?
Who's that?
Gary Lee Wright. Years and years ago when Gary and I were working together, he said that he had heard that was people drooling all over the stage and breaking, and people were falling, and actors were falling and, and breaking their legs. Yeah, and I still don't think that the John Wilkes Booth thing makes any sense either.
Right. I mean, because it did happen. He did break his leg.
Yeah.
But because I remember the doctor that said it was...
Named Mud, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your name is Mud.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's another one right there. Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't charged with treason. I think he was...
Mud?
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember what the circumstances were. No, something happened, though. I mean, and I think that's where the term, I mean, obviously my name is Mud came from that, I think, right? Did that come from that?
That's what I had always understood.
Yeah. So my name is Mud, I believe, came from the Lincoln assassination.
Correct. He was in prison for conspiring with John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah. He was also an actor. John Wilkes Booth was an actor, and Mudd was a doctor / actor, if I'm not mistaken.
Don't see many of those these days.
No.
There's an interesting situation going on in the NFL as I try to find more information about
what's going on,
Dr. Mudd. But there's a player who earned his doctorate. He is Dr. whatever, Dr. Johnson, and he's an NFL lineman. And so he wanted on the back of his jersey, Johnson, MD.
What?
Yeah, and they wouldn't let him do it so far. I'm sure there's, you know, possibility that they're going
to... To have MD on the back of his...
He wanted MD on the back of his jersey because, like, some guy, you know, had the third and, you know...
Right.
Junior and senior and things like that, but he wanted MD, and they said no.
You know what team he's on?
He's on the Chiefs.
He's on the Chiefs, okay. Yeah. All right, so... That's pretty funny, though.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Dr. Mudd here...
Yeah.
After mortally wounding Lincoln on April 14th, 1865, Booth rode with conspirator David Harrell to Mudd's house in the early hour of the 15th for surgery on his fractured leg. Sometime that day, Mudd must have learned about the assassination but did not report Booth's visit to authorities for another 24 hours.
Oh, there it is.
That appeared to link him to the crime, as did various charges of Story under interrogation.
There it is right there.
He was eventually pardoned by Andrew Jackson.
Oh, okay. But his name is still Mudd.
His name is still Mudd.
All right, how about this? Through the Grapevine. You ever wonder about that one, Dan?
Yes. I'm sorry, I started singing it in my head.
I heard it through the grapevine. A grapevine is a system of twisty tendrils going from cluster to cluster. The communication grapevine is first mentioned in the 1850s. That's the telegraph era. Where the telegraph was a straight line of communication from one person to another, the grapevine telegraph was a message passed from one person to person, from person to person to person, with likely twists along the way.
So it's like the telephone game.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Heard it through the grapevine. Yeah. The telegraph, the grapevine telegraph. Why would you opt for a grapevine telegraph? Is it the only... If you can have a regular telegraph, the grapevine telegraph, but I guess that's your only, it would probably be your only way of communicating, right? Is through like 900 different people. You ever do that experiment where you tell someone something and they tell someone and then they tell someone, they tell someone and they tell someone, and they tell someone, and then you hear it again and it's completely different? Like the story that you told that one person as it sifted through 20 other people is a completely different story.
We did it in camp, and it was actually pretty close to the original. So we were all kind of disappointed. Like,
you wanted it to be completely different, right? Like, that's not the story that I told. Yeah. We did it one time in school, and it did end up being, you know, it did end up being different than what, you know, you had told or been told. That's how it changes. Maybe that's what happens when you hear it through the grapevine, man. Everything changes. So, we got a few more here that we're going to be talking about here. If you want to jump in with your favorite phrases, and maybe you know some of the origins of some of these weird little phrases, we love talking about language on the show. And you can call us up right now at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. And coming up a little bit later on, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke, but we're still talking about these wonderful little phrases and their origins. So there you go. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, Nick DiCilio here on 720 WGN. Yeah, we're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on the 18th floor at 303 Wacker, our new home. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. And we've been talking about phrases and some of the origins of some of these phrases. And let's get to the phones here real quick. Let's start talking to some more people. Here is Trucker Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hello. How about, I got two for you. How about Gone for Broke and the Old Kit and Caboodle?
I don't know the origin. Do you know the origins to either of those?
I would think going for broke would have something to do with like gambling.
Could be. Yeah, so going for broke. Yeah. And the whole kit and caboodle.
No idea.
I don't know where that one comes from. I do however have the whole shebang, which is what we're going to talk about next. Jeff, thanks for the call. Trucker Jeff, stay out there. If anybody knows the going for broke or the whole kit and caboodle. But here's the whole shebang. The earliest uses of shebang were during the Civil War era, referring to a hut, a shed, or a cluster of bushes where you are staying. Some offices wrote home about running the shebang. meaning the encampment. The origin of the word is obscure, but because it's also applied to a tavern or a drinking place, it may go back to the Irish word shebeen for a ramshackle drinking establishment. Okay. How about pushing the envelope? Pushing the envelope belongs to the modern era of the airplane. The flight envelope is a term from aeronautics meaning the boundary or limit of performance of a flight object. The envelope can be described in terms of mathematical curves based on things like speed, thrust, and atmosphere. You push it as far as you can in order to discover what the limits are. Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff brought the expression into much wider use. Right. Here is Frank on WGN. Hey, Frank. Frank?
Hey, morning, Nick.
Hi.
Hey, morning, Nick. So I like the phrase, when you go to get your car fixed and the mechanic's not sure how much it's going to cost you, he said, well, not sure how much it's cost. Say, well, can you give me a ballpark figure? And the ballpark figure originated, I think, from the 30s when they used to have political rallies at the ballpark, and they used to close off certain sections, so like only sections A, B, and C were open. So when the newspaper said how many people attended the ballpark, well, we only had A, B, and C filled, so we know that 2,000 people filled those sections, so that's where the ballpark figure came from.
Ah, there you go. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Frank, thanks, man.
Thanks.
See you later. Dan, I was just looking up at the screen. You know, we had the Channel 9 morning news on, of course, and they're showing the world's ugliest dogs.
Yeah, Zsa
Zsa. Zsa Zsa. Did you see what Zsa Zsa looks
man.
Like?
She earned her crown, that's for sure.
You know, I got to tell you, because we had that story here. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow. But most of the ugly, you know, the dogs that have won this prize, this yearly prize, most of it has to do with a tongue.
Yep.
Because all the ugly dogs that have won in the past have a tongue. And this dog's tongue is like 4 feet long. Zsa Zsa.
I've got Kit and Caboodle.
Okay.
So, Kit and Caboodle origins in the 18th century England. Wow, the printer finally started working. Oh, great.
Oh, good. Nice timing on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. So, the whole kith refers to everything somebody owns. So, kith became kit. Caboodle is used to describe the estate. So basically, everything you own in your estate is the kit and caboodle.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. How about can't hold a candle? We say someone can't hold a candle to someone else when their skills don't even come close to being as good. In other words, that person isn't good enough to hold up a candle so that a talented person can see what they're doing in order to work. Wow. Holding the candle to light a workspace would have been the job of an assistant. So it's a way of saying that even not even fit to be the assistant, much less the artist. Wow. That's pretty cool. How about the acid test? Where did this come from? Most acids dissolve other metals much more quickly than gold, so using acid on a metallic substance became a way for gold prospectors to see if it contained gold. If you passed the acid test, you didn't dissolve, you're the real thing. Oh.
It's like those Dawn soap commercials.
Right.
Or
right.
Dove.
The Dove soap commercials, yeah. How about go haywire? That's almost like going bananas and banana boil. Go haywire. What kind of wire is haywire? Just what it says, a wire for baling hay. In addition to tying up bundles, haywire was used to fix and hold up things and make them hold them together in a makeshift way. So a dumpy, patched-up place can be referred to as a haywire outfit. Then it then became a term for any kind of malfunctioning thing. The fact that the wire itself got easily tangled when unspooled contributed to the messed up, quote-unquote, sense of the word, to go haywire. And then called on the carpet. I've never used this term. I've heard it regularly. I've never used called on the carpet. Have you ever used it?
Can't say that I have.
I don't think I've ever used it. Carpet used to mean a thick cloth that could be placed in a range of places, on the floor, on the bed, on a table. The floor carpet is one that we use most now. So the image most people associate with this phrase is one where a servant or employee is called from plainer, carpetless room to the fancier, carpeted part of the house. But it actually goes back to the tablecloth meaning. When there was an issue for discussion by some kind of official counsel, it was, quote, on the carpet. Well, called on the carpet. All right. I'm still struggling with mere foolery. That's we're going to have to get used to. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. What are some of your favorite phrases? And if you know the origin to any of these phrases or you've heard, because they can change, you know, I mean, like, obviously the whole nine yards has like five different meanings that could all be real. So if you you want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. All righty then. Let's see. 847 area code says, how about I bet you $1 to a donut? $1 to a donut. Does that, so they're, donuts didn't cost $1. That would, if back in the day, you can get a donut now for 50 cents, right? How much are donuts, Dan?
You know, it's funny you asked me this, because I was struck by a Dunkin' Donuts sign the other day that I drove past. I think it was $2 for $1.09.
$2 for $1.09?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't off very far then. Yeah. I said 50 cents. What does a dozen cost you then? $6? $6.50?
Probably. I haven't bought a dozen in a long time.
Yeah. I bet you $1 to a donut. I have no idea where that came from. Got anything here for this?
To why dollars to donuts beyond the alliterative qualities, it was essentially just a way to say you bet dollars to something mostly worthless relative to dollars, emphasizing how sure you are correct.
Let me just explain something. Dollars, I'm sorry, but donuts are not worthless.
Dang right.
Is that what they're saying?
That's what they're doing. The similar expressions were dollars to dumplings and dollars to buttons.
Well, the alliteration sounds better with donuts.
Yeah.
You know? Or dumplings isn't bad either.
One thing I learned from my wife,
yes,
was the an old economics way you could tell, like, whether the economy was good or bad was the size of the hole of the donut in the donut. So when bakers had to scrimp and produce more donuts,
the holes were bigger.
The holes were bigger. And then when things were in a better economic state, they could use more flour, they could use more material, and therefore the donut hole shrunk.
Wow. What does that say about a bear claw? The economy must be booming if they're making bear claws. All right, we got a break here. When we come back, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke, because it's a jokey time, and then we'll wrap up the conversation about phrases and their origins and all that stuff. But right now, we got a break for weather and for traffic.
Ooh, it's the best part of the week, baby. It's time to hear something funny. Here we go with your music intro. Ah!
It's a jokey time. It's a jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke. It's a jokey time. It's a jokey time. Nick's dad tells a joke.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It is. It's that time. It's time for my dad to tell a joke. My dad's been telling jokes his entire life, and so we thought, hey, this is actually Steve Cochran's idea. Steve Cochran was like, hey, you should have your dad tell a joke every week. And we do, on Monday mornings, to kick off your work week. Been doing this for a long time now. And my dad calls in and tells a joke. So let's get to that right now. And here's my dad. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Nick.
How are you, buddy?
Good.
Good. How's Ma?
Good.
All right. You got a joke?
Got a joke. All right. Father buys a lie detector robot that slaps people when they lie. He decides to test it out at dinner one night. The father asks his son, "What did you do this afternoon?" "I did some schoolwork." The robot slaps the son. The son says, okay, I was watching movies with a friend." Dad said, "What movie did you watch?" Son said, "Toy Story." The robot slaps the son again. He said, okay, we were watching Stormy Daniel movies." Dad said, "What? At your age? I didn't even think about dirty movies then." He said, the robot slaps the father. The mom laughs and says, "Well, he's certainly your son." And the robot slaps the mother. Ad in the paper, robot for sale.
Dan's losing it over that one, man. You like that one, Dan?
Wow, that was quite a trip.
Wow. Hey, by the way, we do want to mention that a couple of weeks ago, Lou Manfredini repeated your joke on his show.
He did.
Yeah, which one
which
was it?
Which one
again?
Was that?
The take a hike.
Oh, yeah, go take a hike, kid. That's how'd you get money, you know, hiking.
Yeah, right,
there,
right.
That one. Lou loved that joke, so Lou repeated it on his show.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Dad, take care,
buddy.
How
about the phrase, "It'll all come out in the wash"?
Well, do you know that one?
No, I don't. I just...
Leave it out there.
Okay.
It'll all go out in the wash. Okay, Dad, see ya.
Bye.
There you go. There's my dad. Kind of an epic joke this morning, right?
Topical.
Topical. Yeah. Stormy Daniels reference in there? Oh. Oh, man. All right. Let's see. We got more texts that have come in about these phrases that we've been wondering about. 847 area code says, how about as drunk as a skunk? Well, my guess, I mean, I don't know the exact origin of that. My guess is, one, it rhymes, and that's kind of funny. And two, if you drink, if you get really loaded, you usually smell. That would be my guess, is that you smell like booze, or you smell, you know, drunk. So drunk as a skunk, that would be my guess, is that it has something to do with the smell. That would be my guess. Mary says, my dad used to always say, that chaps my hide. It must have something to do with riding a horse. But my dad never rode a horse. I think it means that makes me mad. Oh yeah, chaps my hide is exactly that's it. It does mean it makes me angry, and I think you're absolutely right. I think it does come from riding a horse. If you ride it too long, or if you're not, you know, it could chap your hide. There's nothing worse than a chapped hide. 847 area code says, when I would go out for the evening, my dad would say, don't take any wooden nickels, which meant don't be a fool. Oh, okay. Here's a couple. 773 area code, barrel of monkeys, and put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, I've often wondered where the put that in your pipe and smoke it. Why don't you put that in your pipe and smoke it? 847 area code says, I heard P's and Q's and B's and D's had to be minded in printing. That's because the type looked upside down and backwards to the eye, and it could have been mistaken. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think of that. Mel says, where does holy cow come from? Harry Carey. Right?
Where did Harry Carey get it? You know, like, did he just you know, Budweiser, La yeah. Tapatita, you know, La Preferita, Stupor.
Yeah. 708 area code said, close but no cigar is a phrase that comes from carnivals. When you swing the hammer down and it shoots a weight and rings the bell, typically your prize was a cigar. Thus, close but no cigar. Hmm. Okay. 773 area code says, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah, where does that one come from?
So from what I'm seeing, you could tell a horse's age by its teeth length. Like the older the horse gets, I mean, you probably know this already.
Well, sure.
but so you can't, you know, don't judge a gift because, like, if the horse is old, it, like, it had long teeth and shorter teeth and things like that. So don't judge the gift.
Okay. How about...
How long were Buttercup's teeth?
Real long. No, not very long. Wasn't a very old horse. Chris said his ship sailed is referred to merchants who would order goods and wait for the ships to arrive with their goods. 815 area code says, how about he was so mad that he flew off the handle? Yeah, where did that come from? Off the handle. Don't fly off the handle. And then 708 area code says, it's $11 for a dozen. It's $11 for a dozen donuts? Wow, that's a lot of money. Isn't that, does that seem, you know, I can't remember the last time I bought a dozen donuts. I can't even remember, but it certainly wasn't $11.
To fly off the handle, to lose one's temper, the image is one of speed, as rapidly as an axe head parting company from the handle during a downstroke.
Wow. Holy cow. See, I just used that again. All right.
That's such banana oil.
Yeah, it is. Total banana. And a banana boil. Mere foolery.
I'm just imagining, like, a small Wisconsin town and, like, fish fry in this one and the banana boil next door.
You know, you'll always have a big crowd for a banana boil. That's how a lot of people like to spend their Friday nights. What are you doing tonight? I'm going to the banana boil. What, are you kidding me? What else is there to do on a Friday night but go to a banana boil?
Young man around town, why not?
Of course. All right. Well, anyway, if you have more phrases, or if you could save $11 for some donuts. Dollar, that almost is a dollar for a donut, so that phrase almost is accurate now. Okay. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. What do we got tomorrow, Dan? Do we have anybody?
Yes, we have our good friend James Nabar.
Oh, good. Nyberg. Yes. His latest book is on the Charlie Chan movies. He's a good guy. Really good author, and has written a ton of really entertaining books, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. He'll be on right at the top of the show around 1:15. All right, let's take a break here, and we'll come back, and the news is next.